Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. I'm Brenda Ward, and I'm your host. And tonight we're going to be looking at a year in review. And can you guys hear me out there? Tonight we're doing the year in review as far as what has gone on in 2012. And you'll have to forgive me my voice because I have laryngitis. So I hope you'll forgive me for that. And as we go on here, I want to first start the night off just thanking Michael B. for giving me the opportunity to actually be a part of conservativenationradio.org, and having a place to have my voice heard. Is the sound any better? I don't have a whole lot of power tonight because I contacted laryngitis and it's really got my voice almost gone. So please let me know if you can't hear me and I'll try to speak up for you. But anyway, as I was saying, I want to thank Michael B. for bringing me on board as first part of the Herman Cain train. And now as part of Conservative Nation Radio, I want to thank all my Billy, my sister, from another mister, for being my co-host here the past year, Teresa, Bing, Barb, and all those involved in the ongoing, what's going to be happening with Conservative Nation Radio here in the near future. So just want to throw that shout out there to everybody. And tonight we're going to be looking at a year in review. We're going to look at some of the headlines in crime, the headlines in music. That was actually Beyonce. She was number one on the Billboard hits for R&B and hip-hop for the year ending December 31st, 2011. And right now, we're also going to look at some of the people who have passed away in 2012. We're going to talk about the war on women. We're going to get, I've already had some honey. It's just now working. I've been lemon the whole works. And actually, this is better than it was yesterday. So just be good that this is tonight. And I know it's kind of irritating. It's irritating for me. So hopefully it will last. If not, you guys got to go in and kind of help me run this thing from your end of the show. Phone number is 718-305-7176. And we will be taking your calls as we go on out throughout the evening. We're going to kind of just start out. I'm just going to start out with some of the more gruesome crimes or, you know, some of the more headline crimes that actually of 2012. And, you know, because we have to talk about this because it is a problem in this country. You know, obviously we have the recent shooting that happened in Connecticut. And let me tell you, people, it's not because of the guns, because guns are inanimate objects. And it is a person behind that gun, just like it is a person behind the car, and it is a person behind the knife or the hands or the rope or whatever is used in any particular crime. So, you know, it is not the inanimate objects. But we would be remiss if we did not bring that up in our list of crimes for 2012. And I do have some more, but I have a caller. Let me see who's on the line. Who do I have at 712?
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Billy. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm in the same boat as you with my voice.
Okay.
It's going, almost
you,
gone.
How did you get me this from Iowa? Oh, come on.
I don't know. You gave it to me, girl.
That is just crazy. It's like, I told you she's my sister. What can I say? Anyway, I pulled some headlines, and this one I hadn't heard about before, but apparently there were two lesbian lovers who actually tortured a 20-year-old girl by an Ohio college student. She was beaten and buried alive in a shallow grave behind their home. They took a shovel, and they were beating her in the head, and apparently they could see her brains. They were strangling her with a rope, and then they poured water down her nose and throat because they didn't want to bury her alive. Crazy.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
And are they calling this a hate crime?
No. No. It was
no.
They think it was jealousy.
Well,
crazy.
Yeah, but see, you know, it just comes down to a lot of hate crimes are basically out of jealousy.
True.
But,
and, you know,
when it comes down to it, because, you know, the thing is that
we recognize
as conservatives is that the what they want to call minorities or, you know, those who are not white males are basically different. And people seem to be either, you know, they get benefits, so to speak, because they're different.
No.
They get favoritism as being different. And a lot of, you know, people are jealous of that. And that's what sucks, you know.
Right. And this is really, what's really sad about this, Billy, is the two girls. Well, the girl they killed used to be the girlfriend of one of the girls. But they were like 20 and 18. So the rest of their life is done. But what this basically is this is a lack of respect for life. And we trace it back to many of the wrongs in our society.
Yeah.
We go also then to Josh Powell. Do you remember Josh Powell? This is the guy who they suspect probably killed his wife in 2009. Well, when he got his kids in his house and he hacked them to death with a hatchet before he set the house on fire to kill himself and his two children. All in the face of a social worker. And this man had issues, and they still let him have his kids. I mean, we have some real problems in this country dealing with people who need help and with children being put back in abusive situations and where they end up dead.
Yeah. And see, that's where it all comes down to, where the family, the American family, as it's meant to be, is just broken up by the government.
Absolutely, and they're promoting that because they pay single women to have children, you know, and so they have more children without fathers in the home. And that's one of the reasons. It's not the only reason. But I also believe that when you kill your own child in your womb, it also leads to a desensitivity of the worth of a child. And we also see, you know, we had the Jerry Sandusky scandal and the child abuse that went on at State this year. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, roughly 800,000 children are reported missing each year in the United States. That's 2,000 per day. And that's a scary statistic. We don't know where these children are going. We don't know what's happening with those children. And that is something that really should be a focus of our government and of our states and people in those states, because that is just unreal. Again, we had the mass shootings in Colorado and Connecticut, not the fault of the guns, but apparently of psychotic individuals who did not get the help they wanted or needed, or may have been on medications that also contributed. And of course, then, we cannot forget the Trayvon Martin case that was perpetuated and made into something bigger than it was by our president and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson trying to make it a hate crime, and by the news media, which actually edited the tape to make it look like this man was actually racist. And
You mean the white Hispanic George Zimmerman?
Dude, they said was white, and so they wanted to make it a hate crime, but he wasn't really white. So then, you know, but then he was white because, you know, he's half white. But you know what? President Obama's half white, too. So what does that make him? Make him white? Come on, people. Can't have that double standard. So that was another one of the cases, and that's still playing out in court, you know, that has not been brought to trial yet. But probably one of the this one was in Canada. There was a psychopathic guy named Luca Rocco Magnata. Did you hear about that one? He apparently taped himself.
No, I don't think I did.
He taped himself. Excuse me, guys. I'm really sorry, but this cold is really...
Oh, I understand. I have to mute myself because I have to cough, too.
Yeah, but when you're hosting, you can't really kind of just shut it down and say, okay, you're on your own. But anyway, he mutilated this body, and then he had sexual intercourse with it, and he was eating it. And he taped all this. And it was a hate, that was a hate crime. But, I mean, come on, people. We got some major issues going on that we really, really need to do it. And at this moment in time, that's a few of the major crimes that took place, some of the headlines. If you've got other headlines you might like to talk about, please feel free to call in at 718-305-7176. And we're just going to take a quick break here. I'm going to take it out with a song. This is the number one Billboard country song of 2012. It's called Time Is Love by Josh Turner.
Cool.
I know I gotta put in the hours, make the money while the sunlight shines. But anything I gotta get done, it can get done some other time. Time is love. Gotta run. Love to hang longer, but I got someone who waits for me. How many kisses have I lost? Time is love. Gotta run. Love to hang longer, but I got someone who waits for me. And right now she's where I need to be. Time is love. Gotta run. Gotta
to render aid, that was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our Wounded Warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Real women, real ladies with a real smile. You're listening to the Kevin Patriots on conservativenationradio.org.
Love America, you're among friends here.
And now back to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on Conservative Nation Radio.
Hello, can you hear me? Call in number is 71.
I hear you, hon.
Oh, okay. I just don't know. I'm trying out this new equipment. Okay, 718-305-7176. And we are back, and we're talking about the year in review of 2012 while we're waiting to see if we go over this cliff or if our House representatives are going to cave into this multi-trillion dollar tax hike that's actually going to go into effect with this Senate bill that they passed. So, I want to move along to the headlines. We're going to keep going with headlines. We had some notable deaths this year in 2012. Among them was General Norman Schwarzkopf, who was the leader in the first Gulf War. Robert Bork, Supreme Court nominee. Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii and former U.S. Senator Warren Rudman. Former Senator George McGovern, former Senator Arlen Specter, former Tuskegee Airman George Hickman. We also lost former astronauts Neil Armstrong, Sally Ride, who was the first woman to travel into space, and Alan Poindexter. And we also lost quite a few actors. I'm going to play some TV scenes and let you guys think if you can actually put the actor to the movie. So here it comes. This is an old one. If you can't guess, the first one was actually Dick Clark, who was not hosting his New Year's Eve for once. He passed away this year of a heart attack. We had Larry Hagman from Dallas. Jack Klugman
yep.
was the Odd Couple. Andy Griffith from the Andy Griffith Show. Ernest Borgnine from McHale's Navy. Anybody out there
yep.
got that one? Oh, I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. Phyllis Diller, one of the original women comedians. Michael Clark Duncan, Richard Dawson, Chad Everett, Tony Scott, and Gary Collins were a few of the actors. And now I have some singers, so we're going to give that a go here because we lost quite a few of those here in 2012 also.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style. Heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way.
Sitting here eating my heart out, waiting, waiting for some lovers to come. Dials about a thousand numbers, baby, almost hang the phone off the wall. Looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening. I need some hot stuff, baby, tonight. I want some hot stuff, baby, this evening.
That one's Donna Summer.
And it's Donna Summer.
Still say Dolly Parton sings that better.
Well, I did like her version. She had a version she put out with actually Vince Gill, but that was obviously Whitney Houston. And the singers were Andy Williams, Whitney Houston, Davy Jones, Earl Scruggs. The country singer was Miss Kitty Wells, Ron, Robin Gibb,
yeah.
Dave Dorman, Jenny Riviera, or Rivera was just killed in a plane crash. Dave Brubeck, who was a jazz pianist, and Donna Summer was the other. That was the disco lady going on. And there was a Ravi Shankar, who was a sitar player. Again, the number to call in is 718-305-7176. You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, women.org, Women Patriots. So if you want to call in and join us in the discussion. We did lose some other notable figures. I don't know if they're really notable, but everybody remembers Rodney King from the video and all the backlash that followed. The riots in L.A. passed away this year. Vidal and Gore, without Soon, Gore Vidal, Reverend Soon Muyung Moon, who used to marry all those people together, Thomas Kincaid, Joseph Murray, who performed the first successful kidney transplant, and Zig Ziglar. So those are just a few of the people that we lost in 2012. And obviously a lot of great talent there. I'm going to miss my Dick Clark and various others from that list. So just going to play a quick ad, and I'll be right back.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Okay, and I want to remind you, the call-in number is 718-305-7176. You got something to say? I want to hear about it. And you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And who can forget the infamous War on Women, Billy? Yeah, that was a headline.
Well, we certainly can't. We talked about it all the time.
We talked about it all the time. We're going to talk about it a little more because I actually pulled a little bit from the women of the suffrage movement who were truly women patriots who fought for women to be thought of as intellectuals. And I'm going to play it up here.
Women are still frivolous, the slaves of prejudice, passion, folly, fashion, and petty ambitions, and so they will remain till the shackles, both social and political, are broken, and they are held responsible beings, accountable to God alone for their lives. Not till then can it be known what untold wealth lies buried in womanhood. How many mute, inglorious Miltons. Men are still conceited, arrogant, and usurping, dwarfing their own manhood by a false position towards one half the human race. In commencing this work, we knew that we were attacking the strongholds of prejudice, but truth could no longer be suppressed, nor principles hidden. It must be ours to strike the bottom line. We believed it would take a generation to clear away the rubbish, to uproot the theories of ages, to overthrow customs, which at some period of the world's history had their significance. We knew that in attacking these strongholds, we would bring ridicule and opposition, but having counted the cost and put our hand to the plow, we would not turn back. We proclaimed that our work was to reform, reconstruct, and harmonize society, not to lay waste to her homes and her sanctuaries.
And those were the words of Pauline Davis, who was one of the original women of the suffrage movement. And it was not to reform their homes and take away from their duties of the house or at the home with their children. It was to be recognized as human beings with minds, because women back in those days were looked at as things, objects. You were to paint, you were to embroider, and they, you know, the women, the men would go their way and they'd have these intellectual discussions. It was like they were in a state of war. The gentlemen were on one side of the room and they talked their own talk, you know, politics, whatever, and left the ladies to twirl their shuttles, you know, their little umbrellas, and amuse each other by conversing as they could, but they were not allowed to be educated, okay? And they were called, if you wanted an education or if you talked about books and politics, you were considered a blue stocking. And it was not a name given in reverence. It was a name given in mocking of women of the day. That, my friends, was what the women movement was for women to actually be recognized like Billy and I are today, for that we have minds and we have thoughts and opinions that are just as valuable as those of men. And we want to talk about, and then we have the Democrats trap out Ms. Sandra Fluke to say that it's a shame that we don't.
Yeah, they're really the
control.
Okay.
Yeah, they're taking us back to where women are thought of as their body parts instead of our smarts. And they
right.
set women's rights back 100 years, and yet all these women voted for this because
well,
they're
you know,
so uneducated. Go
you
ahead,
know what
ahead.
I've always said about feminism? The feminist movement itself was to do nothing but take children away from their mothers and put them into public education, and then to get those women on the taxpayer dole.
Yes.
That was in
that,
it. That's all
that's
they wanted in Congress.
It's on the 1963 communist agenda, break up the family and put the kids in the schools. And
yes.
Sandra Fluke standing up there and all these people got behind her because she's what? She's a slut. She's not married. She's having sex outside of marriage. She's supposed to be some kind of role model. She's 31 years old, for God's sake, pay for your own birth control. That's not what women fought for all these years. We want to talk about the real war on women. Let's see, coming out of Egypt, what do we have in Egypt? We have we have sexual harassment of women at an epidemic in Egypt, okay? We have women being raped. What about women
In Palestine, they just voted to keep honor killings alive.
Exactly. Exactly. And in Egypt or in Iran, they're banning the females from going to school.
Right.
The role of educated women in opposing Iran's theocracy. They want to reverse that trend. And then in Afghanistan, when we pull out of Afghanistan, what's going to happen to the women and the children there, the girls there who have been going to school under the rule of the Taliban who believe in Sharia law? Sharia law, which believes that a woman can be stoned to death.
Okay, well, don't forget that little girl who got, you know, shot in the head by...
Oh, that one.
What
was
it, Pakistan?
She was in Pakistan, and the Taliban shot her in the head because she was speaking out for education for girls
right.
in Pakistan. And she didn't die. That's a miracle. She didn't die. They shot
That's
her
awesome,
back in the head. That's the war on women. The war on women is happening across the world in nations that our government is supporting with our dollar, billions of our money, going to those nations. It's not about buying somebody's birth control. And women in this country need to wake up. And they need to understand that the government can't take care of them. Their lives are going to be the worst for it. And when we promote these activities of this outright killing of our unborn children, this outright let's have sex with everybody, which, as we've talked before, leads to cancer and other diseases, you're downgrading yourself, you're disrespecting yourself, and you're disrespecting women in general. That's the
right.
war on women. And the Democratic Party is waging a war on women by promoting these people as the role models for our children. Lady Gaga, a role model for our children. I think not. They ridicule Sarah Palin, who is a role model for girls and women everywhere, a woman who can take care of herself, support herself and her family, but still can love her family and be a wife to her husband, and who has an intelligence to become governor of a state. And people like Michelle Bachmann, who realizes the significance of the extreme Islam and what that can happen to our country with Sharia law. These are real women that need to be honored in this country. And this, you know, obviously this is kind of close to my heart. I don't mind that. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I was just going to say, I was watching the floor of the House today while they were talking, and Bachmann, when she got up, she was talking about the bill she introduced that was not or to stop them from giving raises to the federal employees again. Because, you know, nobody in Congress had any idea he was going to do that.
Why would he do that? Is he stupid? Why would he do that?
I don't know. All I can say is he owes people, you know. He owes a lot of people right now, so that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to basically, you know, wipe it clean and say, I owe nobody nothing because I'm going to get all this shit passed. You know, excuse my language.
Yeah, because we're going to get into that in a little bit on the show, too. I want to talk a little bit about this fiscal cliff and about what our founding fathers actually had to say about that kind of thing. But it's like, we pay for this. We pay for this. The American taxpayers pay the money for the federal workers. Hello?
Exactly. You know what? It goes back to what Clint Eastwood said at the RNC. We are their employers. We have the right to vote them a raise or not. Not,
absolutely.
You know, it's not something the president can do unilaterally. It's our decision whether they deserve what they get.
Absolutely.
And that's the part they don't get. During the DNC, they kept trying to say that we belong to the government. And at the RNC, they turned it around and made it clear that the government belongs to us. But too many people in this nation today believe the wrong way. They seriously do believe we belong to the government because they are of the mind it takes a village.
Right. And I was trying to look it up because we're not supposed to quote the Constitution without giving chapter, verse, whatever. But in the Constitution, it does say that they can't vote themselves a raise. So what they do is they know they're going to be in office forever. I mean, the Constitution wasn't written. These were supposed to be volunteer men who wanted to swim, men who wanted to serve this country. And they felt, they believed it was a service to their country. They didn't feel entitled to it. And, you know, the raises have to be voted in like the year before, so you can't vote yourself a raise. But in this day and age when we have millions of unemployed people, we're going over this fiscal cliff, and even if they come up to a deal, they're not making any spending cuts. We have $16 trillion deficit. We're incurring debt daily. And to give all federal employees across the board raise, including Congress. Pure craziness. And the federal government has grown under Obama. Who does he think is going to pay for this? And, you know, this is something we're going to talk about when we come back. I'm going to take us to break because we're going to still go with those songs from the Billboard. This one is from the adult pop category. It's called Somebody That I Used to Know. And I think it's Goaty. And we're going to play that. That's the number one adult pop song of the year, according to Billboard.
imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You're listening to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And the call-in number, I want to remind you, is 718-305-7176. And we're just talking about things that have happened over the past year. And I'm hoping, looking forward, hopefully, to a better 2013. Although, with the results of the presidential election, not sure that's going to happen. But let's get to this fiscal cliff and this problem we have in Washington. It is so simple. It is just so simple, people. All you got to do is cut your spending. How hard can it be? I just don't get it. But here, you know.
What they don't get.
Yeah, they don't get. No, we want to raise taxes. Well, let's take a look at what raising taxes did in France. Because, you know, in France, they took it up to 75% for the top earners in France.
Yeah.
And one of their very prominent actors, who was very wealthy, crossed the line over to live in another country. Because, as he said, I paid my taxes, and you're penalizing us for being successful. Now, this is in France, guys. This is in France, you know, very liberal France, where when you raise the taxes on the wealthy, and we've been saying this for years, too, here's my clip. It says, the socialists raised the income tax on the wealthy to a stratospheric 75%. They also raised the rates on middle-class incomes on business and capital gains, which is what they're talking about doing in Washington. They instituted a total wealth tax on all property, including unrealized capital gains, and imposed an exit tax on escaping entrepreneurs. Okay, well, you can't leave my country. I'm going to charge you to leave the country. Okay, that's taking hostages. I don't really think that's legal. But anyway, and this guy said, I'm leaving because you think success, creation, talent, and anything different should be punished. I'm sending you back my passport and Social Security, which I have never used. We no longer have a homeland. I am a true European, a citizen of the world. People, that is what happens when you try to charge the rich more and more and more and more because they made something of themselves. And usually they made something of themselves from nothing because they worked hard. It's called work ethic, something that many people here in the United States have forgotten what it is. But it's what our fathers and our grandfathers and their fathers all practiced. This man was so distressed. He said that over a half a century, he always paid his taxes in full, a total of 145 million euros during his lifetime, and he employs 80 people. He said, I am neither worthy of pity nor admirable, but I shall not be called pathetic, because that's what this French president did. He called him pathetic. He said, you said pathetic? How pathetic? I refuse the word pathetic. Who are you to judge me this way, I ask you, Mr. Irolf? Despite my excesses, my appetite, and love for life, I am a free being, sir, and will remain polite. Okay, this is a Frenchman, and this is in France, where they are very liberal. People, you can't, they're just going to leave the people, and then they're going to take the job. Read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Oh, it's for the greater good. Oh, that's in that book. And you know who Ayn Rand is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in her book. And you know why she has that in her book? because she lived under communist rule in Russia. She watched her father's shop be taken over by the government, and she escaped to America, and she wrote these great books. And if you haven't read it, read Atlas Shrugged, because everything's for the greater good, but everybody gets poorer, the sheeple get more depressed, and the politicians making the laws get wealthier.
And, you know, I have to admit, I agree with Ayn Rand on nearly everything but religion. And
amen.
She is, you know, I'm talking about her personally, not just in her books, but
right.
When I've listened to, you know, several different interviews she's had over the years, and a couple of them were with Phil Donahue. And I have to admit, she, you know, she's spot on about, you know, the difference between objectivism and altruism. And I have always felt, you know, that the same way, because you can't sit here and try saying that you're going to, I can't remember the way that she put it, but when it comes down to it, it's either stealing from other people to give to others, and trying to make this level playing field that you always hear the president talk about. Because you know what he wants to do is he wants to make rich people not rich.
Right.
And he wants to say that, you know, they're, you know, the fair share means that they even out the people on the bottom by bringing them up to their level. And these people who are on the bottom have to do nothing to get that. They have no way to earn any of that. You just have to be poor, basically. And
well,
if you're poor,
it doesn't work. It's
and we all know it doesn't work, but that's all they want to do. And
exactly.
You know, and what they're doing is they're taking, even from the middle class, they're taking people who make even, you know, 70,000, 100,000, and they're taking them and trying to bring the people who make only 30,000 or 40,000 up to that 100,000 mark with the way they're trying to structure taxes these days. And it is never going to work to a benefit in this country. It'll work to make those people who are poor feel rich and give them, you know, money to burn. But that's exactly what they're going to do with it. They're going to burn it, and it's going to be wasted in the way that they do spend it, and therefore they're just going to need more. And then it's just going to
absolutely
become,
because
like,
then
let,
more
let
and
go.
There's not going to be jobs, Billy. There won't be jobs when you take tax the businesses, which he did. He's done here
mm-hmm.
here in the last month. They can't sustain their workers.
They have no will to give the people jobs other than government jobs. They just want the people to be subservient to the government.
Well,
and that's
don't
it.
Last as long as the money lasts.
And,
there's
no
reading.
Money, though. There's no money. We are in debt by $16 trillion.
We are borrowing every day to pay for our functioning of the non-functioning of our government. We're borrowing
absolutely
to pay for that. The government
yeah
is broke.
And they're also borrowing and stealing. You know how they say beg, borrow, or steal? They've been begging the people to say that this is the right thing. They've been borrowing from China, and they're stealing from the rich.
Absolutely. And actually, they just did the Tax Policy Center in Washington came out with a report that said more than 80% of households with incomes between $50,000 and $200,000 will pay higher taxes under this deal that the Senate just pushed through. Pushed through, mind you, with no spending cuts. Now, we have to make spending cuts, and I'm going to tell you what. You look at each of these congressmen, we have, you know, what, 535 people that we're paying to represent us up there. But that ain't it. Because in the House, each representative is allowed, in this article, $900,000 for salaries for 18 permanent employees, each member. Taxpayer money. Sorry, why do you need 18 employees to do your job of representing me? What am I paying you for at $174,000 a year? Okay. and this was in 2009, the maximum salary for a staffer was $168,000. Then we go to the Senate, where we have 50 senators, and there was more than $3.3 million appropriated for them to hire staff ranging between 26 and 60. This is ridiculous. Either you know how to do your job or you don't. You know, you've got, they don't even work all year long. And we're paying them. We're paying them to represent us. You want to make cuts, start cutting these people. You don't need that many people. You don't need 2,000 page bills. You don't need lawyers. Let's have some common sense wording of bills that we understand so they're not sticking stuff in there like taxes on medical devices that they stuck into this Obamacare package and now the Democrats are even railing against because it's going to cost jobs. Okay, which we tried to tell them, but nobody would listen. And get rid of some of these people. Why do you need this many people to do your job, to do one job? You know, between 26 and 60 people to do one job. And then let's look at the president and his wife who spent $1.4 billion in taxpayers' money to run their household. And we paid for that. We, the American people, paid for that. You want to make cuts? I got you some cuts you can make. And that's not even talking about the departments and the departments and the departments upon departments that we have in Washington that are just sucking up the money. And that's not including the wasteful spending.
Yeah, I was going to say the first department that needs to go is Department of Education. I mean, you know, I was watching something the other day when they were I don't remember what they were talking about, but it came down to it. If it were up to me, the first thing that you'd do is you'd give everything to the states. You just take the government, the federal government, out of everything except the military, and you give the power to the states to run their own ship. And California, let it sink. You know, it's already in debt. It's going nowhere.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
And let them secede or something. Get rid of them. We don't need their burden because that's what the federal government keeps trying to do is bail them out by giving them more money.
And they're a sanctuary.
Yeah. And you
so
just got to give everything
illegals,
right back to the states.
We're bailing out the illegals that are allowed a sanctuary in California because all the businesses are leaving California.
Right.
Because they can't afford
to. Yeah, because, you know, I see all these ads about how we're 17th, the United States of America is 17th. You know what you got to look at? Look at which state is ranked the number one and have the competition be within the states, not go global. But you look at which states have the best education system and you go with it. You don't need to try making the United States number one. You need to keep, you know, the competition within the United States and stop looking to China and North Korea and stuff to see who's doing better because that's what they're trying to do with their whole New World Order junk is
expand us
to a global, you know, a globalized economy and everything.
And that goes along with Agenda 21, which goes along with the Communist Manifesto and the 45 declared goals. It's all wrapped up in one, and they're trying to get there no matter what. And we as a people have not been vigilant enough. I don't know if you saw where the FBI had followed Marilyn Monroe around. Excuse me, guys. That's my cold kicking in here. Kind of.
Yeah.
All right, Wendy. You've committed to the show, and then you can just use it. Oh, you're this again. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. I want to remind you that you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, .org. This is Women Patriots. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176, and I really don't just like to hear myself talk. So why don't you call in? I want to hear what your opinion is of what the biggest lie that Obama told in 2012. So if you've got one out there, I want to hear about it because we're going to talk about those and we're going to try to decide what we think might be that. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this fiscal cliff and our founding fathers on the other side of the break. Right now I'm going to play for you. It's called Lights by Ellie Goulding, and it was the number one pop single on the Billboard charts for 2012. ¶¶
Closure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on conservativenationradio.org.
Okay, and welcome back, everybody. Again, the number is 718-305-7176. Hey, either drop it in the chat or give us a call. I want to hear what you think was the biggest lie that Obama told in 2012. And also we'll throw out there, who would you most like to see deported from this country? That's a good one. Okay, well, let's take a quick look because we were talking about fiscal responsibility and the government. So let's take a brief look at what our founding fathers, or a couple of them at least, had to say about this. And you'll find, if you go read some of these speeches that George Washington or, say, Thomas Jefferson made back when they were in the White House, you can find a lot of good basic information to tell you what point of view they were actually coming from and what their intent was in governing, and tells you an awful lot about the Constitution. And I do want to throw out there, we do have a special guest coming on next week, and I'll tell you a little more about that at the end of the show, so stay tuned. But first of all, in his farewell address, George Washington, in point number 30, he said, as a very important source of strength and security, we should cherish our public credit. One method of preserving it is to use it as sparingly as possible, avoiding occasions of expense by cultivating peace, but remembering also that timely disbursement to prepare for danger frequently prevent much greater disbursement to repel it. Avoiding likewise the accumulation of debt, not only by shunning occasions of expense. Here's George Washington, he says, you know, don't look for ways to spend that money. Okay, shun that. But also vigorous exertions in the time of peace to discharge the debts that you created in the time of war. Because remember, the federal government is a national protection agency, not part of the states and the republics. It's got its nose in too much business, and that's part of the problem. Not ungenerously throwing upon posterity the burden which we ourselves ought to bear. We're not supposed to pass this on to our children. The execution of these maxims belong to your representatives, but it's necessary that public opinion should cooperate. To facilitate to them the performance of their duty, it is essential that you should practically bear in mind that toward the payment of debts, there must be revenue, that to have revenue, there must be taxes, that no taxes can be devised which are not more or less inconvenient and unpleasant, that the intrinsic embarrassment inseparable for the selection of proper objects ought to be a decisive motive for a candidate or candid construction of the conduct of the government in making it, and for a spirit of acquiescence in the measure for obtaining revenue which the public exigencies may at any time dictate. Okay, now, and we've talked about this before. I have no problem paying taxes if they're spending it wisely, if they're discharging the debt, when they're running up debt daily by misappropriating money and giving money to foreign countries, which was never, ever, ever endorsed by our founding fathers, ever. Not there. Won't find it in their writings. You won't find it in the Constitution. And yet, today they talk about raising taxes, but no cutting of spending when we are incurring daily debt. And then Thomas Jefferson, and he was 81 years old at this point. he had already been president, and he was writing a letter. And he told this person he was writing the letter to, he said, I think myself that we have more machinery of government than is necessary. This is Thomas Jefferson, okay, back in the 1800s. I think myself that we have more machinery of government than is necessary. Too many parasites living on the labor of the industrious. Wow. This is Thomas Jefferson. Can you imagine what he would think today if he had a view of what our government has become and what our people have become? He goes on to say, I believe it might be much simplified to the relief of those who maintain it. Your experiment seems to have this in view. This guy was actually experimenting with extended family units living. But this is from Thomas Jefferson, who said they had more government than was necessary back in his day. And what are they saying today? Oh, we need more government. We need more government. Well, the government needs to do this. The government needs to do that. No. No. You don't like our government. Leave. This is not what it was intended for, America. This is not what our country was founded on. And this is not what we do here. Anyway, if you want to call in, 718-305-7176. You know, I know there's other people out there got to have some kind of ideas on what's going on here. So, Billy, what do you think was one of his big whoppers of 2012?
I think the biggest one was you didn't build that.
You didn't build that. That's an interesting one. Yes. That's a good one. And that speaks to what the French guy was saying. That you're not rewarding those who are industrious. You're not rewarding the entrepreneurs. You're not rewarding.
Right.
You're not recognizing what these people do for your country and for your government. You're not recognizing that when you try to take away the achievements of those people. So that's a good one. My favorite one though is Benghazi. Cover up the video.
The video, definitely.
Yeah. And we still have.
Yes, it was all a result of this video. And, you know.
Which was not. And in the report, they didn't find that video anywhere in the social networks.
And, you know, what's the funny thing? The funniest part.
Go ahead.
The funniest part is since that video, I've seen 3 or 4 other videos that have come out against Mohammed from other countries. Like, I think one was Sweden, another was Australia, that were 10 times worse. They even showed nudity of 2 guys in Arab dress that were gay and stuff and trying to mock Muhammad. And I'm sitting here like, okay, they're sitting here bashing this amateurish kind of, I don't know what to call it.
Cartoonish.
Goofy film.
I mean, it was really stupid. And guess who's
this
in jail?
This other stuff was nearly porno, and they're not lambasting it the same way they did that one video from a Coptic Egyptian Christian who was living in the U.S., who was actually now, and even that Terry guy from Florida, they're sentenced to death by Egypt.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's crazy. And the only one who's been punished. The only one being punished for this Benghazi atrocity where we had a murdered ambassador is the filmmaker who was not responsible for Benghazi, who had nothing to do with it. And now there's rumors that they're putting bounties out on other ambassadors because we did nothing as a nation. Our president didn't make a stand. In fact, he went before the United Nations and said, we have to be more gentle with these people. We can't criticize their religion. You criticize
Oh, in my opinion,
he
went
day.
One step further and established a national religion by saying that our country will not say negative things about Muhammad.
Well, you know,
remember when
he doesn't.
I mean, he did eventually kind of like take a drawstring and pull in other religions, but his first comment was about Muhammad directly.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and in one of his books, didn't he say he would side with the Muslims?
Right.
And he's showing that at every turn, and I cannot believe that people don't see that. Well, excuse me, this
the
kind
fact
of
is he does have Muslim values.
Yes. He's got third world country values and right. not our values, because we're proud to be Americans and we want to be the greatest nation on earth, and we're proud of that. You know, we're proud of that. We're proud of our founding fathers, that they had the courage and the guts to take their guns and say to England, we have 13 colonies here, going up the great empire of England and saying, stuff your taxes, because we're going to be a free people. And he spits in the face of our founding fathers with everything that he does. And it's just very, very upsetting. And then we have Piers Morgan. Piers, I don't know, whoever he is, from England, who, though they don't want him back. They don't want him back. Trying to tell us what our Constitution is and is not.
And what it should say.
Yes. And not having a clue as to what it does say or the original
exactly.
intent of the Founding Fathers. Because you have to look at the intent of the Founding Fathers. And when you look at the intent, it was for protection against the tyranny of government. It wasn't for hunting rifles or muskets, as Pierre said. It was to protect yourself against the tyranny of government. That is our Constitution. That is America. And I, for one, signed the petition to have him deported. So that's traitorous. How can they put that on American television when every one of our congressmen and our president has vowed to uphold the Constitution?
Yeah.
How can they let this be on our television and not do something about it?
Oh, I know. And, you know, but the thing is, they're so compliant with the networks. You know, the government and the networks
are... The networks are in bed with the government, and they're publishing only what they want to tell the American people. My guest next week is going to address this some more, because she has been fighting against the media.
Okay.
Ashley has a website called Rage Against the Media.
Ooh.
So I know I sound dramatic, but it's the only voice I got.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. It's the only way it's coming out of my mouth tonight. Okay, here we go. But I go any higher and it just goes, it's gone. But yes, that's my guest.
Nice.
It's going to be on next week to talk about this a little more, because people, we are being fed propaganda in
cool.
the United States of America. So yeah, it'll be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Won't have to just listen to myself and you talk, believe me. We'll have somebody else to talk to. If you're listening out there, the number to call is 718-305-7176. Please help us out. We're both there fighting this laryngitis and these colds, and don't know how long our voices are going to hold out for this New Year's show. I hope you've been enjoying here on conservativenationradio.org. We do have some big things coming. Our grand... launch is next week, on the 6th. We have a new program coming on January 9th that is going to involve a Marine and a JAG officer. Should be some pretty good stuff. Also some programming changes in the works. I do want to mention that on tomorrow night is the Warrior Catholic Show here on conservativenationradio.org. And so we want you to tune in for that and keep on listening to us. So as we go on. So anybody in there, you're going to type me in a lie? Anybody else got a lie that Obama told? What do you think about this Hillary Clinton thing? Billy? Do you have any thoughts on this Hillary Clinton blood clot?
You mean the blood clot thing?
Yeah.
Well,
kind of weird.
Yeah, all I can say is, you know.
Hard. I mean, what did she fall into that she hit her head on that caused a concussion in the first place?
Well, you don't have to fall to get a concussion. Sometimes there have been, you know, especially if there's a blood clot, it could just be, you know, minor stroke related. And I mean, you know this stuff better than I do. You're the medical expert.
Well,
but
yeah.
I knew. To get a concussion,
the concussion.
One of my aunts, my mom is one of 15 or 14 girls and one boy they had. But I had two aunts that died early. One of them, she did die from having a blood clot on her brain that was totally unexplained, you know. And thing was, she like bent over and felt dizzy and then like fell down the stairs. And they didn't know, you know, she didn't have a bump on her head or anything, but they said she had a concussion, you know.
Yeah.
So there were no contusions to her falling down the stairs. But they found the blood clot and said that, you know, it was really big, and she ended up, you know, eventually dying from it.
Well, what you can have when you hit your head is you can have subdural hematomas, and that's blood that starts pooling in the outside of the brain, and it puts pressure, and that can kill you. Usually happens. This is what happened to that one actress up when she was skiing in Canada. And she felt fine.
Richardson, Natalie Richardson?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She had a subdural hematoma.
That was Liam Neeson's wife, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And she felt fine, but then she laid down and she didn't wake up. And that can happen frequently. People getting hit in the head with a bat or something, and it can cause that kind of bleed.
Right.
But they said she had a concussion, so.
Yeah.
And now she's got
a you know, like I was saying, though, you know, they were trying to say my aunt had a concussion. She fell down the stairs. Actually, I remember my mom saying she fell down the stairs on her butt, you know, basically. She, like, slipped and fell down the stairs with her feet flying out from behind her. She didn't hit her head. But when she went to the hospital, they said she had a concussion. And there were no, you know, contusions or, you know, reasons for her to have hit her head to say that's what caused the concussion. But she had a concussion. So I don't know how concussions are determined. But
I don't know. You know, if you're shaken up and you feel a little woozy after you hit your head, you know, like in the NFL or something, I don't know how they determine that, but they make them sit out for a couple of weeks. And I'm fast losing my voice, so if you're out there listening, you want to give us a call in and help us out here, the number is 718-305-7176, and you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And we've been talking about the year in review. And we'd like to know who you'd like to see deported. So if you have anybody you have in mind, I have several people. We actually started a list on Facebook of the top 10 people we'd like to see deported. And I have someone at the very top of my list. Billy, can you imagine who that is?
To deport?
To deport.
Barack Obama.
No, very, very top. Farther up from that one.
Warren Buffett, George Soros.
George Soros. That man.
I don't think he lives here, though. He doesn't live here.
He doesn't live in New York?
I think he has like a... He owns an apartment there that he stays at once in a while, but his main home is like somewhere over by England and Scotland in there.
Okay, well, I think we need to keep him out of our country and out of our organizations and keep his money out of our country also.
Yeah.
Because that man is just pure evil. And they talk about the Koch brothers and them paying millions of dollars to Republicans. Well, let's talk about George Soros putting billions of dollars into the Democratic machine and the fall of America. And we do have a caller. Yes, we have Boyd calling in. So here, let's take this call.
Okay.
Hey,
Boyd. Hi, Boyd.
Happy New Year's, ladies.
Happy New Year, Boyd.
I'll tell you what, it sounded like you ladies had too much fun last night partying bring into New
Year. Oh, I wish that were the reason.
We
I feel
sick.
Like you.
We were online going, I feel awful.
Yeah, I know we were chatting last night back and forth.
I got laryngitis. My voice was worse yesterday. And it's like, oh, my God. So, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Just finishing up my ham, black-eyed peas, and greens.
Yum.
Yum.
Oh yeah, they were.
Our minds are like synchronized. We're sick together. We do the same thing. So Anyway, go on, boy. What do you think was one of Obama's big lies?
Daniel, one of them is me. I don't have a sore throat. No. Daniel,
okay.
You're getting on my bad side. You may find a lump of coal in your stocking next
year. He's going to hunt you down like a dog, Daniel. Anyway, Boyd. Hey, so what do you think? You have a favorite lie that Obama has told this year, or somebody you want to see deported?
Well, I can't pick out a favorite other than whenever he opened his mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. I think so.
We'll start saying,
great.
Close freezing mark during the daytime. Hi to Irwin's last night.
Uh-oh,
down.
Somebody's got something playing.
Oops, that's me. Stand by.
Okay.
Hang on.
Yeah, it's like every time he opens his mouth, I have a really hard time listening to him. Like,
every time he says he wants things to be fair.
Wait a minute. He was on the news yesterday or the day before and said he cut $1 trillion from the budget.
Yeah.
What? Say what? And where? And when?
Well, the thing is, and all the Democrats use it, is the $1 trillion they would save when they bring everyone back from Afghanistan and the end to Iraq. They consider that a savings rather than, okay, it's like you have your mortgage, right? And your mortgage gets paid off. So what do? You take out a second mortgage? Or do you just enjoy the fact that now you're getting more money into your home and you don't have to make that mortgage payment anymore? Well, he wants to keep on making that mortgage payment and find infrastructure expense and stuff to use that money on. So that's pretty much what he wants to do.
But you shouldn't be using that on infrastructure. You should be using it to pay down debt.
Like
you
I say, give the infrastructure back to the states.
Yeah, and that's just kind of crazy. Just crazy. So, Boyd,
I have to say, Mitch Daniels, you're a governor. Was one of the smartest people out there about infrastructure. He sold the highway to Australia.
Yes, he did. And a lot of people up north didn't like that, but it put money in our coffers. And, there are ways to go around that. You don't have to use the toll road if you don't want to. But he did put us in black when many of the states were in the red. And this was his second term, so he is about to give way to Mike Pence, who is another very good conservative. Mm-hmm. So we were very, very lucky here in Indiana to have a very conservative governor and a conservative legislature. Because I think here in the near future, we as Americans are going to be depending on our state governments to defend us from the federal government.
Well, we were supposed to all along, you know.
Well, I know. But, I mean, I think we're really going to have to – it's going to have to happen in a more
– You know, what we need to do, though, is first get the federal government out of the picture, though. Because as long as the federal government's still involved, no matter what, our states are not even – their hands are tied by that federal government.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you know, like with the highway that was sold to the Australians, what are they going to do with it? I'm sure they made it a toll road.
It was already a toll road. It was already the toll road, yes. And they were just going to run it and take care of it. And they still do charge toll. But, yeah, it was already a toll road up in the northern part of the state. It's 80-90.
And here's some of the other things that really scare me about selling off property.
Well, we didn't really sell it. He leased it. But he leased it for a very long time.
Yeah. Well,
so
what,
yeah, he didn't outright sell
what,
him
what
land.
Is it, a 100-year lease or a 50-year
yeah,
lease?
It's a long lease. So.
Yeah. But, you know, there's talk out there that, you know, the federal government owns so much property and stuff that they should sell it off, which I agree with them with one caveat, is who's going to buy that property? And if they buy that property, what becomes of it because of the fact, like, okay, say you want to sell off some federal lands that are rich in oil. Who's going to buy it? Do we have anybody available to buy it that's not a foreign national? I mean, the oil companies would, all they want from the land is the oil underneath of it.
Yeah, and they ought to make it a stipulation that the states get first rights, especially like in Alaska. You know, the first right ought to go to the state. If the federal government's going to sell land, does the state want to purchase that land?
Yeah.
Because and that should be their right.
Actually, the land should be given to the state because it's within their borders. During statehood acts and stuff, the federal government reserved that land for the federal government, even though it's in the within the state's borders. The states cannot do anything with that land for their benefit.
Yeah, but in the Constitution does give the government to own federal lands. I mean, that's in the Constitution. So, you know, I don't know how far we can go to disagree with that, but I do oppose any Agenda 21 in order of them trying to take more land from people. And we need to, we just got so many problems we need to get worked out. And it all starts with getting the budget under control in Washington and getting the money out of Washington, like Billy said, and giving it back to the states and let the states deal with their people. And we won't have near the problems that we're having today. So I need to take a quick break here. Again, you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, and this is Women Patriots. Call in number 718-305-7176. If you've got a big whopper that is a favorite of yours that Obama has told, please call in. Or if you have somebody you'd like to see deported from this great states of ours, and I'm beginning to think we need to deport a lot of people, give us a call at 718-305-7176. This next song that I'm going to play, top of the Billboard charts, number one for adult contemporary, and it is by Kelly Clarkson, and it's called Stronger.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone.
Stronger, stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely. What doesn't kill you
makes you stronger.
Corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going
to
want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
Then what you're
going to
do is turn
or
onto Marcy
and
Avenue.
Broke up,
and go past
and
the first three lights,
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Real women, real ladies, with real smiles. You're listening to the Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And now back to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on Conservative Nation Radio.
Okay, and we're in the last sprint here with about 20 minutes to go. Call in number 718-305-716. You're listening to ConservativeNationRadio.org, and I have Billy with me on the phone and Boyd. And if you want to call in and add your voice to that, feel free to do so. So I'm seeing in the chat room we want Piers Morgan gone. And Obama gone would be nice. Not going to happen. And myself, George Soros. Boy, do you have anybody else that you'd like to add to that list?
Yeah, I forgot about Soros. Yeah.
Let
him go away.
Yes, let's keep him out of the country and his money. Pull his passport. Pull his money. Say no more. You can't come here. So
send him back to France. Expediting back to France.
Is he like banned from there? There's somewhere he's banned from.
Well, because no, he's indicted on criminal charges.
No.
Over there.
So we let him in the White House here because that's a good thing to do. Frequent guest of President Obama's.
Expediting. expediting.
Get rid of him.
Yep.
And there's one big Hollywood guy I'd like to see go. Can anybody guess?
Oh, Michael Moore?
Michael Moore. What is that man even doing in this country? You don't like it, leave. Hey, Michael, get out. Shut up. Go away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oy.
Well, we missed.
I'm trying to think of who's from Canada, like Bon Jovi and junk.
Well, there's a lot of Canadians that come here to live because it's a better way of life. It's cheaper.
Yeah, and they get big tax deductions and stuff.
Yeah.
Just because they're, you know, they have a bee farm and junk.
Yeah, but they come here to live because it's cheaper. But, you know.
Brother Ron. I want to invite Brother Ron to call in.
Well, he has the number, doesn't he?
There's your challenge, Ron. 718-305-7176. Or if you click the little Skype button, I've never tried it myself, but apparently if you click that little Skype button up at the top of your page, it will bring you into our studio so you can add your 2 cents worth. I do want to remind you all that tomorrow we have the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. And next week, my guest is going to be Karen, I think it's Siegmund, from Rage Against the Media. And so you'll want to turn in for that, because she's got a lot to say about the corruption and the lack of media coverage of important events like Benghazi and Fast and Furious and other lies that have come out of this administration. And also the Senate has said they're not going to confirm traitor, oh, I lost his name, Perry. No, wait, that's not right, Kerry. It's like, okay.
Bradley Manning.
Huh? For Secretary.
I thought you were talking about Bradley Manning.
No, John Kerry, you know, the traitor from Vietnam. Who's going to
John Kerry, who served in Vietnam.
Yes. And who's going to be our Secretary.
I don't consider him a traitor so much as just a coward.
He came back and talked bad about his own soldiers and his own servicemen and government and participated in a protest against our troops. And that's a traitor.
Right.
Sorry. You should not
But see, on the left, they all see that as freedom of speech. They don't see that as traitorous. They just see it as, you know, he was exercising his freedom of speech.
Well, right, and then wrong, because, you know, you don't badmouth your country. You don't like your country, go live somewhere else.
Yeah, but I hold more against him is his lies that he, you know, did so much over there, and everybody in the same platoon said, oh, my gosh, the guy was a coward. He hid from everything.
Of course he did. And they did the dirty work they had to do to survive. You know, war is not pretty, people. It's not pretty. We know that. But if you're out there fighting in that war, you need to do everything yourself to bring yourself home alive. And when they're sending little kids with bombs, or they're hiding behind little kids like they do, Hamas does in Israel, and we fund them, and people say Israel's a baby killer. Okay, no, it's the cowards and the terrorists. Come and get me, baby. I got a gun. Quit hiding behind them children and in those schools and in those hospitals. You are cowards.
Exactly. Who are the baby killers? The ones who are defending their own land and end up hitting a place that might have some children in it while they're, you know, basically shooting down bombs left and right, or people who are literally willing to strap a bomb to another child. I mean, give me a break.
It's crazy.
And trying to convince a child that this is your honor to go kill yourself for Allah or whatever they want to call it.
And what parent would want to do that for a child? I mean,
people
really,
who are so devout to believe that they have, and to me it's all satanic, but I'm not going to go there, that the answer is to kill yourself in the name of your God. They literally see that as an honor.
Besides, what's a six-year-old going to do with 72 versions?
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Right, it's crazy. You know, it's just insane. And they want to call this the religion of peace. And it's a misconception. When, in fact, when I was reading some of my history, again, I came across the Thomas Jefferson and the, when they were facing the Barbary pirates and the Muslim, you know, they had to kill the sinners because that's what they were commanded to do. So, you know, this isn't something new. This isn't something America has caused, because Thomas Jefferson couldn't understand how, when we just wanted to be left alone and do our thing, how they could hate us so much. You know, so those people trying to blame the United States for the bombing of 9/11 or for the hate that spreads through the Muslims, it's all a lie. Go back and look at your history, and you'll know that that is not true. That, you know, even in back in before we were even capable of defending ourselves, that the pirates, the Muslims, were teaching this hatred of sinners. Okay, so it's not something that we have just done. And again, the number to call in is 718-305-7176, and you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. And again, I apologize for this voice that I don't have tonight, because I know this sounds really strange coming through your radio. So, but, you know, what are you going to do? So, Boyd, I think you ought to take the show from here, because you're the only one that can really talk.
Yeah, I didn't do no show prep.
You didn't do no show
prep? Yeah.
Oh, well, we can do it off the cuff. So
there you go.
Okay,
yeah.
So far we have on our deportation list, we have George Soros to be deported and never allowed back into this country and to take his money with him and keep it out of off our shores. And we have some people voting for the president. And we have Pierre.
Do you want to know who I want deported?
Who do you want deported?
Those here without citizenship. All of them.
Absolutely. Illegal immigrants need to be deported. That would actually solve part of our budget crisis. Because I think we spend over $300 billion a year on illegal immigrants in this country. And that would be a big cut. Because a lot of
It was, what, $22 million last year they just gave out in tax refunds. That's
crazy.
Just tax refunds. That doesn't count all their, you know, SNAP program, EBT benefits, their health care, everything else. That's just in, you know, tax refunds.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. we wouldn't have to deport them, really, if you think about it. All we have to do is cut off those funds.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But see, that's what Mitt Romney was talking about with self-deportation. If you cut that stuff off, they're going to leave willingly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, apparently that decision is too tough to make in Washington. And
no,
Barbara's out there telling me that they were going to have that vote. Have they voted yet? 103, 4, 56 against, 214 is the magic number, is it not?
No. Yes, it is, Ron. The House
so
is where, in
where's the rest
of
them? Did they not vote?
I think they're in the voting process
As we speak. So it's coming out in little pieces there. So I think they're going to sell us out. No spending cuts.
Happens if a lot of them vote present?
Well, it won't pass.
Because don't they need at least a half of the House to say yes?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't pass. It'll be shot down if everyone
okay.
else.
We're up to 118, 4, and 60 against.
119-64.
All right. Well, this is going on as we speak. We're having the vote going down to whether they're going to increase taxes for everybody in the higher tax brackets, and with no spending cuts, as what came out of the Senate. And, you know, the tax raises for all the federal employees, because heaven forbid that they suffer like the rest of us Americans who are paying their salaries. And we have to applaud Michelle Bachmann for bringing legislation to stop the increases for Congress. But you know what? They need to go farther. They need to take a pay cut. And we need to stop funding their pensions. And they need to go on Medicare like the rest of the country. Because it's a privilege for them to be representing us as the people of the country. And for those people who may have just turned in, I am not trying to talk in some weird voice on purpose. I have some laryngitis going on. And I really want to thank Billy for helping me out. She's got laryngitis too, but And Boyd, thank you for calling in.
I was just trying to help your ladies out. You sounded like you were in trouble, and me being the chivalrous man that I am.
We love chivalry. We conservative women like that.
I just had a big eye roll going on.
My husband still opens the door for me, and he fights me to open the door for me.
That's
all
right.
The time.
If you're not going to run into the feminists, you can open my door for me anytime you like. You can.
He'll have his hands full of all kinds of stuff. It's like, wait, don't you dare.
Okay, now, so when I vote support. supports the Senate bill. So yes. And
as it stands now, there are 80 nay votes, 126 yays. Of the nays, 72 of them are Republican, 8 of them are Democrats.
Wow. So we're breaking party lines. That's a good
thing. It'll go down party lines, but it'll be the Democrats that are going to pass this right now.
Yep.
They're
assuming that most of the Democrats are going to vote for it, and as long as they get 30 to 50 Republicans on board, I guess they got it.
They've got 50 Republicans on board right now. All the Democrats have to do right now is to vote yes, and they will have it. And
I don't want it, really. I don't.
You don't want it, but you're going to get it. That's just
always get what we don't want.
Yeah. See.
Well, we're trying to change right here with this radio program and others like us.
Where the Republicans went wrong is they voted to increase the taxes and that they will talk about cuts on another day.
Again.
So, the Democrats have won this maneuver.
Again, because they did this to Reagan and they did this to Bush. They promised the tax cuts and they never got them. And we will never.
It is a tactic and they will not. The right does not get it. How to stop the tactic from going through and working.
You have
it
to.
It is
both.
All Alinsky. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's Alinsky. It's the naked communists. It's everything all rolled in one. And it is a tactic. They wait till the midnight hour. And they pass it because, you know, they're threatened. And a lot of people, I mean, just think about it. When you procrastinate on things, don't you usually just give in, you know, just to you know, just get it done? And you don't do your best at it, and you don't get everything you want out of it whenever you've procrastinated something, and eventually you just do, like, a half-assed job, so to speak. In order to just get it done, and then you can check it off your little list that says, I've done it. And that's all that they're trying to do. And they've had 17 months, 18 months to get this done, and nobody would bring it up because the Democrats refused to.
Oh, yeah. They thought the Republicans were going to cave immediately. And this is what the president thought. Even, you know, if he got reelected, he just figured they were going to cave immediately. And as you know, he cut his vacation short to go back to Washington.
I think they wanted every bit of what's going on right now because they think this is going to help them win in 2014.
Well, no, it's not because we're going to
take back the House, you know.
We're going to have to take the Senate in 2014 and we're going to have to take the House bigger in 2014 in order to save this country. So,
And we're going to have to change out a lot of Republicans too.
Well, I was on C-SPAN earlier listening to some of the callers talk. I mean, they had even Republicans that were just bad-mouthing the Republicans in Congress. And they had Democrats bad-mouthing the Republicans. It was like Republican bash fest because they're just saying, I voted for these guys. I voted for, you know, the Republican senator or congressman, but they're not doing anything. They're supposed to be, you know, not passing this bill. So basically, I don't know if that'll change the House into Democrat hands, but it definitely is going to make some disgruntled voters out there.
Well, and here's the problem. Here's part of the problem, and it's something we're going to be needing to address with all our programs going forward, is that the Democrats will back each other no matter what. You know, they will... They say the stupidest things, and they will repeat it verbatim because they have an agenda, and they're not about America first. And in order to get to their agenda, they coalesce as a group, and this is their community organizing. This is their collectivism. We being individuals don't tend to think that way. But we as individuals, whether we be independent, libertarian, Republican, right-wing, Tea Party, rhinos, whatever you want to be, we have to coalesce. We have to find our common ground, and we have to push back, because otherwise we aren't going to win.
But we at least need our foot in that door. We need to get a foot in the door. And every time our foot goes toward the door, they slam it.
Absolutely, because the party itself turned on the Tea Party.
No, I wouldn't go there. I see. I'm not one of those Boehner bashers.
I don't blame
Boehner in any way. Boehner's trying to do his job, and he's been the most open and allowing them to bring whatever they want to the floor. And he's not trying to stop anything. And the thing is, and he's actually being a leader about this, just saying, hey, this is what we need, but you guys vote your own free will. And that's why he didn't get his votes for that $1 million one. If he gets the votes for this one, that's insulting to Plan B. Because he had a damn good Plan B, even if it was Nancy Pelosi's bill.
Well, and there's a problem. I mean, Washington is broken, and we have some of these people that have been in there too long, and they've got to go. And we got.
But at least Plan B would have cut more spending, and Plan B would have made it $1 million instead of 450,000 or 400,000, whatever they voted on.
Yeah, well, but they did give that concession. They weren't going to give that at first, but, you know, I mean, we got to take the small positives, but I don't think it's going to help anything. But what we got to make sure we do, too, is put the blame where it belongs when the businesses start going out of business. You know, it's Obama's fault. It's the Democrats. They've had control because we can't push that message enough to actually take us into – we're starting into 2013, and we've got to start pushing that message. Right now, I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight. I hope you had a good time listening in. That's Barbara and Daniel and Ron and Boyd and Billy and anybody else out there listening. Thank you all for calling into our program. You are listening to the ConservativeNationRadio.org. And we're getting into our last 3 minutes here. I do want to tell you that next week I have a special guest who is runs the website Rage Against the Media, Karen Siechmann, and she'll be on here to talk to us more about the media and maybe give us some hints how we can actually affect the outcome, because we are actually going up against the big machine. Excuse me,
nice.
I'm sorry. And also on
well, happy night. Happy Tax Day. I'm sorry.
Happy Tax Day.
Yeah, they got their votes.
Oh, they got their votes.
It's 217 to 147. Well, 221 to 147.
Oh, well, we got a few up there that are worth having.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, I guess we'll see who voted for it, and we'll determine where we go from there. Again, thank you for tuning in. You want to tune in tomorrow night for the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts. Starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be launching our new website and our new programming on January 6th here at ConservativeNationRadio.org. So we want you all to stay tuned for that website. It's going to be pretty interesting, and visit it often and share it with your friends. And on January 9th, there's going to be a very interesting combination. We're going to have a Marine and a JAG and one of our newest programs for Conservative Nation Radio. I'm going to take us out with an ad for Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices. It's a great organization. If you haven't joined, I suggest that you do. Thank you, and have a good night.
Good night.
You and I shocked the
world. Good night.
Not only did we
night,
win
Billy.
Iowa
night, Billy.
And 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. And once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life? Protect traditional marriage? Return to the principles of our Constitution? Restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country? And make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now. And I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
Thank you all and good night.